Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
I want to get to one of my favorite people here. It's Scott Kleinberg. He's a social media strategist. I heard him on with Bob Surratt today. But there's one thing you didn't address, Scott, yet. And I see these stories popping, and I'm trying to understand, what does it mean, this TikTok, and how, first of all, I feel like it's a really young person's app, so most of us adults are not on it. But that suddenly you see these different employers like Wells Fargo and big employers like that saying, we don't want our employees to have that app on their phones. Go delete it or else. And I just, yep. I got to ask Scott, you know, first of all, how are you?
I'm great, Anna. Thanks for having me on. Always nice to talk to you.
It's good to talk to you, too. And one of the things I love about it is you understand these things on a very high level, and yet I can understand what it's about when you explain it. And so that's what I love. What is this about? Why would a big company like Wells Fargo, and now you're hearing other companies kind of look into this to say, delete it, get rid of TikTok?
Yep. Well, it starts with a very important point that you just brought up in those past few seconds. This was a very young person's app, and it still is a very young person's app. However, it was actually a study a couple of weeks ago that showed that the coronavirus and the quarantining that people have done have actually skewed the audience older. So now there's actually a lot more 25 to 44 people who are on the app, even if they're not necessarily dancing and doing all those things that the young people do. They're actually creating accounts, which is why, to come back to your question, which is why places like Wells Fargo and Amazon and other places are concerned about people having TikTok on their phones. And to give you the very quick, easy summary of why people are all up in arms about it, TikTok is owned by a Chinese company. And with all of the worries nowadays about the safety of our data on social media, everywhere else, alarm bells are going off because TikTok is owned by a Chinese company.
So does that mean that the Chinese government is getting our data? Or, I mean, what would be the ultimate concern? It's owned by a Chinese company. I think, you know, we buy electronics that are from China. We buy a lot of things that are from China. Why is this particular app being, you know, focused in on?
You are so right. And the reason why it's being focused on is really because of the political climate that we're under. All of the talk that President Trump talks about being tough on China and trade and all that stuff, it's all crossing over and it's not making sense because it's easy to say, no, it's dangerous because China. You can't just say it's dangerous because China. Policymakers' chief worry is that the company that owns it, it's a company called ByteDance, B-Y-T-E Dance, that they could be forced to hand over TikTok's data on U.S. users to the Chinese government. But here's the thing. TikTok is very clear. They do not store any of the data on servers outside of the U.S., just, you know, not in China. They also don't even operate in China. It is a completely U.S. company. However, here is the thing. The company itself, being owned by China, is still a Chinese business that's still beholden to Beijing, or at least that's what the people are saying who want this to be deleted. So on one side, you have TikTok saying, wait a minute, we are owned by China, but we're in the U.S., and therefore we're safe. And then you have all these other people saying, well, how are you going to prevent China from getting the data even if it's here? Because if China wants to steal data, China can steal data. And you end up in this situation where people are so confused, people like you, people like me, people like Wells Fargo employees who don't necessarily understand why they can't have TikTok on their phone, other than the fact if you're using a company phone at Wells Fargo, you probably shouldn't have TikTok on your phone anyway. But they're turning it into something much, much bigger.
Let's back up just a little bit, because TikTok in and of itself, again, not on everybody's radar. I remember we did something on the show about it 6 months ago, I want to say. And the reason we even did it was because security experts in like schools were saying that this is the app that no parent knows about, but every child knows about. And it skews extremely young. It used to be like 8, 9, 10, 11 year olds, even though you're not supposed to be, you're supposed to be 13 in order to even use the app. But just describe for us, Scott, what it is.
It's an ever-evolving app. What it really is is there are people who, there are kids who are doing dances, and the dances are theme dances. So somebody comes on, does a dance, and says, can you do this dance? They try to do the dance, they share it with their friends. And that's used, that used to be all it was. Now it's skewed. It's dancing, it's people singing, it's also protest videos, it's things with hashtags that have actual topics. You may have heard stories previously about how the TikTok generation was taking credit for keeping the showing of President Trump's Tulsa rally low, because they were saying that all these people went on TikTok and ended up buying the tickets and putting out videos. So it used to be all these kids dancing. It still is. But now it's skewing in a different way where people are using it for different things. And it looks now much more like any other social network, like an Instagram or something like that, with this still emphasis on kids and doing dances. But I would say that, sure, there are plenty of parents who don't know about what's happening with social media, but I think people, I think parents are much more aware of the existence of TikTok now than they were before.
2 billion users globally, 165 million in America. That is half of our country, which is a crazy thought. So you've got to be right on that, Scott, that there are adults using it now and that it is skewing older. I guess the other question I have here is, okay, so they're taking your data. I think we, by now, sort of understand that when you use these free social media platforms, that they are taking your data, right? They are, you have, you're sort of signing up for that when you do it. And now there are certain disclosures that I know different lawmakers have tried to get out there so that you know which, what data they're actually getting. I think in the state of California, it's now required. And I know they're trying to introduce something here where whatever data they're getting from you, at least let the person know in a clear way that, hey, this is what we're collecting on you. This is what we're getting. Facebook, you know, had, you know, had hearings over this. And I just, what kind of data are they collecting, Scott? Would you be able to tell us what it is?
I actually can. The Washington Post did a little bit of a study a couple of weeks ago to actually get an idea of the type of data TikTok collects. So here's what they said. They, aside from having information on every TikTok video you watch and how long you watch it for, if you're to send a private message over TikTok, they can read the full contents of any message you send through the app. So that's out there. In the U.S., it's it says that it gathers your country location, it gathers your internet address, so your IP address, and it tells the type of device that you're using. So it knows if you're on an iPhone, it knows if you're on a Samsung phone. And if you give it permission, which it asks for, whenever you launch an app, you know how it says, would like to access this, would like to access this. And you always say yes because you want to use it. It'll grab your exact location. It'll tell you, it'll take your phone's contacts. It'll take your other social network connections, as well as your age and your phone number. But this is the most fascinating part, Anna. That's actually less than what Facebook takes. And because it's a Chinese company, the alarm bells are just ringing, you know, like crazy. Oh, it's a Chinese company that has all this stuff. Meanwhile, Facebook has had data breaches and data breaches that were taken by other countries. And if those other countries want more data, there's ways to get it besides TikTok. So people, so what I'm saying is, I think people are unnaturally focused on TikTok because of its Chinese connection and not thinking about really what's in our backyards. And you said before about, you know, data and California and all these things. Every time you insert an app or you update your software, you get those privacy policies. And you know how they say you have to scroll down to the bottom and click accept before you can go forward? Those policies, you know, they're like 200, 300 pages.
Right.
No one in the world is going to read that. And the longer and longer those policies get, the quicker people are like, oh, just scroll, scroll, scroll. They click OK. And unfortunately, in those 200 and 300 pages, it's telling you this is what TikTok is taking. And when you say it's okay, well, legally you said it was okay.
And even if you're not using the app, will it be pulling your data, your position, your geolocator position, your contacts, your all that stuff?
When the Washington Post did this test, they were not able to find that. They were not able to find that when you were not using the app that it was doing that, unlike Facebook, which does do that. Because Facebook, even if you don't have an account, Facebook can still follow you on the internet, which to me is still one of the creepiest things, whether you're in social media or not.
Say that again, Scott. What did you say?
If you are, even if you don't have a Facebook account or you used to have a Facebook account, Facebook can still track where you are. There's all kinds of ad stuff. There's things around the internet. There's varying degrees of how it works, but you do not have to be logged into Facebook. You do not have to be using Facebook for Facebook to be able to access data. And that's why when people are always so worried about data breaches and things like that from social media companies, that's what they're fearful of, because people don't necessarily know the information that's out there. But all of this, yeah, all of this information can just be taken based on the fact that you're using a computer and cookies on websites and things like that. It's just, it's a wild, wild world.
Absolutely. Hey, Scott, do you have just a second to hang on? Because I wanted to ask you about this, I guess, the stolen logins. There are 15 billion of them out there circulating on the dark web. I saw this on Wired.com, and I want to ask you how serious this is, because it sounds awfully serious to me, but I don't always understand these things. So hang on, Scott. Sure. We'll talk to you in a second, and then we'll be back with Scott Kleinberg on the other side, social media strategist. TikTok was our earlier conversation. TikTok is fine, says 708, as long as you teach your children. Yep, got to teach your kids. And even at a young age, they have to know that what's out there is out there. And older kids know that already. Not that that always makes a difference, but that is your imprint, and it's very easily traceable. But the other thing that's out here, Scott, and I'm so happy you called on the show, because I saw this thing here that we've heard so much about data breaches, and that somehow, you know, okay, they seem to try to correct it when it involves a certain company or something like that. But here's a situation where this security company in Wired.com has found a massive data loss detection firm found 15 billion login pairs, usernames and passwords from 100,000 different breaches all on the dark web. So these are passwords that presumably could be linked to, I guess, bank accounts. It could be linked to lesser accounts, like, you know, logging into your video game or your social media account, that kind of thing. What would be the best things you could tell us about something like that? How dangerous is this? How exposed are we? And, you know, like, what do we do about it?
Well, I think the thing that is what you just said about there being 100,000 breaches. Just think about how insecure the web is if 100,000 breaches have happened. And we're talking about breaches that are small to breaches that are huge, like the Equifax data breach. Basically, everybody's credit card information in the entire U.S., you know, leaked in some way. I mean, 15 billion credentials is crazy. And one of the things that I have been talking about, Anna, for years and years to anybody who will listen to me, is never repeat your password. When you use the same password on your bank account, the same password on your Netflix, and the same password everywhere else, if there's a breach and if somebody comes across your information, what's happening with these breaches is just unbelievable. Basically, they're finding this information on the dark web, and somebody is saying, I will sell this to you for $80. And they determine how they're going to price it and how they're going to sell it based on how new the information is and how many times the same password appears. Because if someone has access to data from a breach and they see same username, same password for bank, credit card, Netflix, Hulu, everything else, all of a sudden that password is worth so much more money than someone else's because it can be used for everything. And these hackers can break into everything. Unlike if you use one password on each different thing like you're supposed to do, no matter how long that takes you and how inconvenient that is for you, you still have to do it, or you should do it. In that case, maybe it's $5, because maybe there's a chance that that will lead to something. But someone who uses a simple account, or someone who uses any password on a banking site, no matter what, that could be worth $100 to someone because they can get in to your bank. So the information that's out there is frightening. And as far as what we can do, basically, we have to use different passwords for everything. We should use a password manager, which is that app that basically says you have one giant password that covers all these other passwords, and it assigns separate passwords by the computer to other ones. And there's actually built-in password managers now. If you use a Mac, it'll automatically like pick a password for you. They're trying to fight these things, but data breaches become more sophisticated every day.
Would you change it on the most critical accounts, like bank accounts and stuff? Would you keep changing it?
That used to be what people recommend, but now it's not so much. Now they recommend having a super strong password and keeping that super strong password, because every time you change your password, think about what you do when you change your password. You're always like, oh, what's my password going to be? I'll use my old dog's name that no one will ever figure out from 20 years ago. But they can if they want to.
Right. And they can, because that information's out there. All right. Well, that makes a lot of sense, and it always does when you break it down. Scott, thank you for the time this afternoon. And we hear you on Bob Surratt every Tuesday, right? That's every Tuesday?
Yep.
What time?
Tuesday morning, 7:30, yep.
Awesome. I enjoy hearing you there. Thanks for the time this afternoon, Scott.
Thanks for having me on, Anna. Nice to talk to you.